Today is the 18th of September. Well, actually, I guess I'm trying to jump the gun. Today's the 17th. Tomorrow's Friday the 18th. But this is the evening of the 17th. And it's been a very interesting day. I won't bore you all with all the details of Philip's life. But Mark wants to do a discussion tonight on...
Separate.
And you have separate, separation, separatist, and separatism. You want to read us the definition of separate?
To set or keep apart, disunite, disconnect, sever.
Okay. Now, in a day and age when the 90% of the so-called Christian world wants to unify, wants to all band under the banner of ecumenicalism, we see very few messages taught or preached on separatism, separation. Scripture tells us, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Paul tells us in Galatians, if there's any come unto you and preach another doctrine, let him be what?
Anathema.
Anathema or?
Maranatha.
Accursed. Anathema or accursed.
Sorry.
That's all right. We don't see that rule that Paul talked about in Galatians very often lived out in our day-to-day lives during this time period, because there's so much emphasis on, you know, we all love Jesus and Jesus loves everybody and, you know, we're all serving the same God and all that stuff. Now let's just talk a bit about why it's so important to live separately from groups that are teaching things that are not biblical. There's an old saying, and it says, you're known by the company you keep. Now, you know, have you ever met someone that was very close to someone, and maybe they work with this person, and about 6 months after working with this person, you call the company up, and this person sounds just like the other person. And you go, wow, you know, Ben's the owner of the company. Man, you're beginning to sound just like Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the old saying goes that, you know, you hang with someone long enough, they're going to rub off on you. And if it's good, if the guy's got a good character and good personality,
mm-hmm.
maybe his good character and good personality will rub off on you. If he's got a bad character, a bad personality, maybe that'll rub off on you too.
Yeah.
Well, what about bad doctrine? Well, same thing. Pretty soon, you start rationalizing and justifying, and pretty soon, you can't tell any different from you than the person out there in the world. Now, I'm not going to mention any affiliations or names or anything. I'm just going to make some general remarks, and that is that I'd heard about an individual who was very involved in the Nazarene Church, and how that this person's mother was just exalting him and everything else about how that she was so happy he was involved in the Nazarene Church, and how they were making disciples of people, and how they were, you know, doing their Christian fellowship and their Christian breakfasts and all that stuff. Now, what does the Nazarene Church teach? Well, the Nazarene Church teaches that God loves everybody, God died for everybody. God made it possible for all men to be saved. They deny predestination election. They deny the doctrine of original sin, that man is dead in his trespasses and sin. They affirm that man has a bent towards sin, but he has a spark of good in him, that he's born and created in the nature and the image of God. So I decide I'm going to start hanging out with the nasty greens. I mean the Nazarenes, sorry about that. We used to call them nasty greens. I'm going to hang out with the Nazarenes. Well, pretty soon I said, well, you know what? They got a point. These fellowship breakfasts are kind of nice. Kind of nice social thing. Hey, I like the golf tournaments. Hey, I like going to the Gaither concerts. Hey, good food and good fellowship. Hey, I kind of like going to these pizza parties. I think it's kind of neat, man. You get a lot of friends. And so what? They're not quite doctrinally lined up with me. They do kind of water down the Bible. And yeah, they are using the New International Version or the New King James Version or some other new thing. But so what? You know, hey, we got to compromise. You know, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. And pretty soon I can start rationalizing it away. Now, the problem with this is, where do you draw your lines? Because the Nazarenes say, well, you know what? The Catholics aren't that bad. I mean, yeah, they worship Mary, and yeah, they pray to Mary, and yeah, they do the Eucharist, and yeah, they go to Mass, and all, and worship the patron saints, and you know, I've got my patron saint, and you got yours, and yes, we pray to our guardian angels, and on and on and on. And then, well, the Catholics, well, we've welcomed the Greek Orthodox into the fold, and we also, you know what, we believe that there's a lot of good Muslim people. The Pope says that Allah is the same, you know, same God as what God we're worshiping. And so the Muslims are just as much God's people as we are. And you see where this goes?
Yes.
So this is why Paul was so strong on separation, because you start and you're trying to be charitable and you end up in Lula land. You know, you start in Arminian church and you end up in something like unity, or in some ecumenical movement that is, you know, chanting the harmonic balance and singing "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me," or some other crazy ecumenical tune. You know, like "Give Peace a Chance" or something. So, Paul had a very good reason for being strong about those that were preaching false doctrine and associating and fellowshipping. He said, don't even eat with them. Now, what happens with your relatives? What happens with your mom and pa? And I'm not talking about Ma and Pa's restaurant either. We live up close to Cameron, Missouri, and there's a Ma and Pa's restaurant up there. But I'm talking about your real Ma and Pa. What happens when they decide they're going to start upholding and having fellowship with people that are in false doctrine? And pretty soon, those people that are associating with start rubbing off on them, and they want to start rubbing their stuff off on you. I even had, well, I better be careful what I'm saying. But it's close to home, folks. Christ said, if you're not willing to give up your mother and father for my sake, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. And he said, your enemies are of your own household. You know, mother-in-law against your mother. Daughter-in-law, and so on. Well, persecution, if you're in Christ Jesus, you'll suffer persecution. What's that mean, persecution? It means the loss of acceptance of other people. people will get downright mad. They'll say you're intolerant and a bigot. They'll say that you're a hypocrite. They'll say that you're legalist. They'll say all kind of things about you falsely for my name's sake, Christ said. They'll cast you out of the synagogues. They'll, you know, look, it's not going to get any better according to the 24th chapter of Matthew. Because the 24th chapter of Matthew says perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man comes. Men will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until he entered into the ark. Well, as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven. I would encourage everybody that hears this message to read the book of Jeremiah. Okay? Read it. You know? But separation, what do you think about separation?
I think people need to be separate from the world.
Yeah. You know, now, we're not advocating going into a monastery somewhere. We're not saying that you should live a monastic life and to go into some monastery or cave somewhere. The day may come when you almost have to do that with our society getting as corrupt as it is. You know, when they start forcing you to take swine flu vaccinations, and I heard a prior Kansas State Highway Patrol say that they're going to start stopping people, and they're going to check to see if they've had their vaccination. If not, they're going to ship them off to Fort Riley until they get their vaccination. Now, you know, I don't know how much truth that's a former Kansas State Highway Patrol saying that. I mean, that's pretty bizarre. But you know what? It's going to get to the point where people are so power hungry, the lust for power, they'll do anything. They'll bring about any kind of legislation for more and more power over people's lives. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, that's what Christ told the Pharisees. He said, the reason you do not believe on me is because you are your father, you're of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Now, I'm going to have Mark read some scriptures on this issue of separation. Now, I don't know if people that hear this message are going to like it very well, because most people want to get along with their mom and pa, and they want to get along with their brother and sister, and they want to get along with their aunts and uncles and their nieces and nephews and their cousins, and you know, they don't want to, you know, they're part of the family, right? Well, are you willing to give up your family for the gospel? Are you willing to give up your family for the truth that's contained in the Word of God? Is it more important that you have the acceptance of your family than to take a stand for the Bible? You know, one of these days you may be asked to do some things by your family members, to endorse some things that goes directly against the Word of God. Then what are you going to do? Say, well, it'd have to be very blatant for me to cast off my family. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of blatant things going on right now. If you realized it, there's a lot of very, very, very blatant things going on. But people do not want to talk about those things because it might mean a little inconvenience on the part of not being able to attend a family reunion, or it may require being rejected by the family. It might require going
to another church.
It might require leaving your existing church and going somewhere else. It might require missing the Christmas reunion or the Labor Day functions or the Memorial Holidays or Ishtar Sunday. It may require not going to a Thanksgiving dinner. It says do not even eat with them. Do not even put your approval on what they're doing. And then the people that do try to take a stand up, they are the ones that are in the wrong. They are the ones that are all in the wrong. Okay, so we're going to have Mark look up. Trying to find it here for you to look up here, Mark. Hold on just a second. I'll see if I can find it. Let's see. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
2 Corinthians?
So 1 Corinthians 6:17.
2 Corinthians 6:17.
Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
Okay, well that's pretty strong. Read the next verse.
And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Okay, now read the verse before that. Verse 16.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Well, that's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. He says, what kind of affiliation does God's people have with Belial, or the devil? Idolatry. What he says, and I know people don't like it. I know people get upset when you use that scripture to show that he requires separation, you know. And there are many, many other verses that we could have Mark read, but I think that one's probably just as good as any to prove the point that we are, you know. Christ was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He did not participate in lust and sinful activity or idolatry. Go to Hebrews 7, verse 26. If we are to be Christ-like, shouldn't we follow in the path of Jesus Christ? Hebrews 7, 26.
For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens.
Yes, he was. Now, I'm not trying to promote elitism or anything like that. I'm trying to promote doctrinal purity. And that's all I'm trying to do. And so, separation, being separate from the world. The Bible says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what it says. And so, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that includes thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt have no gods before me, including idols, idol worship. And also he says that, you know, by your fruits you shall know them. People say, well, what do you think you are, fruit inspector? Well, the Bible says that a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. An evil tree bringeth forth evil fruit. What about a false tree bringeth forth false fruit, false doctrine? You know, so that's what we're trying to point out today. Where do you draw the line? The Bible says you draw the line around the Word of God. When people start changing and altering the Word of God, it's no longer the Word of God. It's something different than that. When people start changing the doctrine clearly portrayed in the Bible, it's no longer Bible doctrine. It's something else. And when people start affiliating with those that have changed the doctrine of the Word of God, then they're as guilty as those people themselves. Because they have you ever heard the saying, silence gives consent? Somebody just says, well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to raise any fuss about it. I don't want to cause controversy. You know, I don't want to cause havoc. I don't want to cause dissension among the brethren. I'm not going to say. I'm just going to go along with it. Silence gives consent. Everybody's watching you. You're known by the company you keep. So that's the message for the day. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Father, pray that you would take this discussion and use it for your glory. We ask in your name. Amen.